Yeah, my name is Eusebius Mojuana. I'm currently a PhD student in soil science at the University of Wyoming. But the work that I'll be presenting here is work that I've been doing in Western Kenya through an NGO that I helped found about in 1997 called Sacred Africa, or Sustainable Agriculture Center for Research and Development. And what I'll be discussing here would be what kind of alternatives do small-scale farmers have for improving soil fertility in Africa. And I will be presenting this on behalf of two colleagues that we have worked with, Johnston Odera and Dr. Paul Wuma. I think many of you may be knowing him. And as many of you know who have worked in Africa, the African working environment is a challenge. Small-scale farmers in Africa are working, doing intensive cultivation on fragile lands, mostly very old, weathered oxysols, and because of taking out a lot of the organic matter and also lack of use of fertilizer, that these soils are rapidly becoming infertile. Tied with this, when you talk about Africa, I think it is difficult to keep on it on the technical side, that there will be other issues like marketing. So you'll find one of the things that the farmers are trapped in is something that we call a good season, poor market dilemma, that every time when the farmers have a good harvest, that also depresses the prices. And so because of the instability of prices, commodity prices, that farmers do not find it viable to invest in a lot of the technologies that we would like them to take up, including soil improving technologies. Another issue to note is the issue of post-harvest losses. In Kenya, for example, it has been estimated that farmers are experiencing up to 40% losses of their grain after they harvest because of different things. And as a continent, Africa, 14% of the continent is having moisture stress, you would see on the map. And the farmers, basically in most parts of Africa, are simply mining the soils with no replenishment. And degradation is becoming a big issue given the high amounts of rainfall in some places, and desertification is also increasing. When you look at the price of fertilizer today, what a corn farmer would pay in Ohio or something like that, it's almost 200% more what an African farmer would pay, and there are structural and issues that are doing that. Estimates, FAO has estimated that Africa is only using about 40% of the fertilizer that it needs to use to just replace the nutrients that are being mined. And my thinking is that the policy environment within the African continent is kind of currently too weak for the challenges that actually face small-scale farmers, not only in soil fertility, but in other issues, including marketing. So this is the FAO, for example, chart for cereal production, and what you'll see in 1961, the African small-scale farmers, the productivity of their land was more or less like what they would get in Asia and what they were getting in China. But then, if we look at it 40 years later, what you see here is while China is now at more than 4 tons per hectare, and Asia is about midway, Africa's productivity per unit area is basically the same. It's still around 1 ton per hectare. And I think that, and yet the population has increased maybe 3 to 4 times what it was in those 40 years. So that raises, and some of the issues that we are seeing is the issues of packaging of fertilizer. There is also this misconception that fertilizer spoils the soil. We also think that recommendations that are being made for fertilizer use are too blanket for areas that are too diverse. So the blame game continues. I mean, what is it, the research that is missing? Is it the extension? And basically, many people have come up with theories why the Green Revolution bypassed Africa. We think that the rush also towards bringing modern agricultural technologies also forgot about some of the basic resources that are already existing in Africa. This includes underutilized organic resources, crop residues, and I'll be talking about more on what we have done in that area. This is the map of Africa on the right. As you see, the Sahara Desert, where my sister was just talking about Egypt, out of the 30 million square kilometers of Africa, the Sahara Desert is only 9 million square kilometers, and it's expanding. And on the lower side, on the southern part, there is the Kalahari Desert. And even in areas where there are no deserts, like this is part of forest in Kenya, deforestation and the pressure on natural resources has become such a big issue that sustainability of agriculture in Africa is becoming a real problem. So like this is the Mau Forest. I'm sure many of you have heard about that in Kenya, with farmers going in, cutting trees to make firewood and charcoal and the basic livelihoods out of forests, and then what kind of environment do you then have? And so a basic farmer in Africa would start off with a potential of about 2 tons per hectare, and then you have an explosion of weeds that will take away 1 ton, then there are pests and diseases that will take away another ton, soil fertility will take away another half a ton or a ton, and so then most of them just end up below the 1 ton level that I've talked about. And in terms of fertilizer use, interestingly, in many areas, fertilizer use is going up. In Africa, it's going down. Since 1991, the era of liberalization of state parastatals, we have seen a steep decline, especially in the use of nitrogen fertilizers, and this is what FAO has done in that area. And so to do this work, we carried out a comparative study of some of the alternatives that are available for farmers to use to improve their soil fertility. And our testing was informed by the rationale that so far in Western Kenya, for example, competing recommendations have been developed in isolation of one another in terms of what can be used to improve soil fertility, and that many uncertainties also surround some of the technologies that are being promoted for soil fertility in terms of the requirements of cost, the inputs, economic returns, and even adoption of some of those technologies. And also the fact that differences exist between the capacities of households to invest in additional labor and inputs suggests that heterogeneous solutions are required if we are to actually address the issues of soil fertility in Africa. And so our work was based in Western Kenya. We worked with 140 farmers in 7 districts from 2002. And basically, we identified best practices that were being promoted for soil fertility and put this side by side, because each of these best bets was developed by a different organization that was pushing them. And the aim of our study was to kind of compare side by side how each of these technologies were actually doing at the farm level. And so the objective was to identify the more suitable soil fertility management recommendations for maize-based cropping systems management in Western Kenya from a selection of several candidate best bets, given a smallholder's economic strategy and also agroecological and even cultural conditions. So we compiled information on soil fertility management practices recommended for maize-based cropping systems. We conducted also an independent test of these recommendations in side-by-side farmer-managed experiments at multiple locations. And we also assessed the recommendations in terms of their suitability for the different agroecological zones. And we were able to, at the end of the project, to popularize some of those that we thought were working in different zones. But the big question we were asking ourselves was, it seemed to us like the technology basket was full. And the question we were asking, if the technology basket is so full of recommendations in terms of what needs to be done, why is this not translating into food on the table? I think that is the big question that remains unanswered to date. And basically, this is the arrangement of the, we put all these technologies side by side, and we're using farms as replicates. And to just illustrate what I'm talking about, if you are the farmer standing in the middle of that cycle, One technician will tell you, Kari, the Kenya Agricultural Research Institute has been promoting what we call FAP, Fertilizer Use Recommendation Project, say this is the best that you need. You'll find ICRAF, now is now called Wild Agroforestry Center, for example, has been promoting the use of improved fallows. More university has been promoting also in the same area use of fortified compost. This is compost that is fortified with rock phosphate. They're also promoting something else called Prep Pack, which is again rock phosphate with rhizobium bacteria and that kind of stuff. And Kari also in the same area promoting relay fallows, which is basically using lab as a green manure. This is a nitrogen fixing legume. And my organization, Sacred Africa, were promoting something else called Mbiri, which is based on interactions between legumes and maize and spacing and this kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, the farmer has all those options, but which option really works where, at what cost, for who, when, and so on, were not answered. This is Mbiri that I've just talked about, which basically creates space within the maize crop that allows us to use more legumes than just beans. And this is a lab. Basically, it's grown and then turned in before it matures. It costs about 17,000 Kenya shillings, and you can see the nutrients that it supplies to that system. Then this is the prep pack that I talked about, costing about 27,000 Kenya shillings, giving about 35 kilograms of N, 100 kilograms of P, and so on. And this is Clotalaria, one of those improved fallows that is promoted by the Wild Agroforestry Center. And the basic, before we started, this was the baseline yield that we had. Maize was just about a ton, beans was just about giving less than 200 kilograms per hectare. The total crop value per hectare is about $176 with a total cost average of about $100. So the net return before any intervention was about $75 with a return ratio of 1.7. And after 3 years of this is just 1 year, this is the first year, this is how the different technologies that I've just mentioned were able to perform. What you see on the lower deep green is the costs of each system, and what you see on the upper side is the returns, is the returns from that system. And we saw, like, on average, different systems were able to have different inputs and different costs, and you could classify this into organic cycling side that was, like, in terms of returns, was giving on the lower side, and then there is this external input, inorganic inputs, and what we saw was that the best that was really working well was something that was a combination of the two. And also, we also saw that there was a lot of variation in terms of how each technology performed in different areas. For example, this is FAP in two different locations. You can see that it doesn't look the same. This is lab in different locations. Again, a lot of variability. In some places, the lab is overgrowing the maize. In some other places, you can't get enough biomass to incorporate. Same thing with lab. And these are some of the extension materials that were developed out of that project. And there was a lot of situations where the farmers and children and school children come there to actually evaluate some of those research sites for themselves and decide what works for them. And I guess that we have raised more questions than answers, but we think that the challenge of soil fertility in Africa remains. We have seen that the farmers can have different alternatives and different technologies, all costing differently. But then, at the end of the day, I think the whole scenario goes beyond technologies. I think, how do we move beyond the technologies that we have to have a policy environment that will also even scale up some of the little islands of success that we have? Because of time, I think this was my last slide. And the challenge that we have is, how do we transform the African farmer from the small-scale subsistence scenario using the technologies that some of them have learned about from here to something like this market oriented. And my talk was intended to raise more questions than answers, and thank you for listening.